Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Are you getting the truth regarding the COVID shots? We're going to be talking to an expert here on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we are very pleased to have Dr. Mike Yeadon. He has a degree in biochemistry and toxicology, a PhD in respiratory pharmacology. He's worked for 32 years in the pharmaceutical industry, including he was vice president for respiratory research and development at Pfizer and former chief scientist at Pfizer. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Yeadon.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to speaking to you.
You also co-founded another company.
A biotech, didn't you?
That is a company that ultimately you sold, co-founder of that. You have been very much involved, obviously, in the pharmacology issue. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it is that you came to address these kinds of issues with the current COVID shots.
Yeah, you actually almost did like an about face in your career. So this is really interesting.
Okay, well, I didn't really see it like that, but let's just see. I know a lot of people think I'm whatever, down on the industry I used to work for. So you're right. I have a degree in biochemistry and toxicology. So I started trying to understand how things work, why they sometimes don't, how to fix them. And I've used those skills in developing with others what we would call drug discovery programs, trying to find new ways to treat existing diseases, and also when there are side effects or problems with environmental poisons, it would be trying to work out again what's the mechanism whereby a drug is bringing about effects on this occasion untoward. So that's been very helpful in the recent work I've been doing in the last year. So I'm a tinkerer. I try and understand complex systems. And I was told by previous supervisors that if I had one special skill, it was an ability to spot faint patterns in sparse data. So when there's not much information, I will look and think and think, and I will often be able to make something out in the gloom before my colleagues did, and I have done that repeatedly. And I think that's what I've also done in the COVID thing, and explains why I spotted it and lots of my colleagues didn't. So yes, I had a very enjoyable and moderately successful career in big pharma. And I'm going to criticize companies, including Pfizer, so I want it on record that I had a wonderful time at Pfizer. I loved working there in research, great colleagues, good budget, great facilities. And I left 10 years ago on excellent terms. And as you pointed out, the fact that I was on good terms is proven by the fact they were willing to let me acquire a compound that I had been involved in inventing that they no longer wanted. They were shrinking their research footprint and moving out of the UK. So I can assure you, you have to be on good terms with your former employer to be able to do a business deal like that. But yes, I used that compound to start a new company, this time in dermatology, and we were able to raise capital. I raised nearly $50 million of venture finance. We built a team, conducted a clinical trial. We had really striking results in atopic dermatitis, and the entire company was acquired by Novartis of Switzerland. So that's my career. And then also partly in the last 10 years after leaving Pfizer, I've been a consultant, a sort of an expert startup guide to 30 biotech companies, mostly in the US, two of which are now quoted on NASDAQ. So I think I've been trusted with scientific concepts and judgments and making decisions. So I was very fortunate when we sold my biotech to Novartis to retire early. So I was doing a little bit of light consulting, but really my career was behind me and I was looking forward to spending more time with family and hobbies. And then what happened was in early 2020, we heard about this virus coming out of Southeast Asia. And then eventually in my country, United Kingdom, we got to a point in March where the Prime Minister said, and now I'm going to ask you all to stay at home. And my mind was racing because I know enough about transmission of infectious diseases to realized really at the outset, I thought this is literally an absurd thing. You're hiding from a respiratory virus. But nevertheless, that's what we did. I would say by the summertime, about this time last year, I'd become deeply worried because one of the what I call seven or eight lies that we're being told was being told in the UK, and it was that the polymerase chain reaction or PCR test was a reliable measure of whether or not you're infected. I knew it wasn't. I knew a bit about the inventor, Carrie Mullis, and I knew that under the conditions of use, the test was absolutely meaningless. And yet there were scientific advisors to my government, some of whom I know, I mean, absurdly, the chief scientist of the UK government, I actually worked with Sir Patrick Vallance 30 years ago when he was a young postdoc. And there he is on the television telling lies. So I found that striking. I followed the trail of breadcrumbs, shall we say, through the year. And I discovered it wasn't just that the PCR test was misleading and always amplified the number of cases. The bottom line of all of these lies is to make you more fearful. They've told you repeatedly that this virus is much more dangerous than it actually is, and the situation is more hopeless than it actually is. So it wasn't just wrong statements about the PCR test, but gradually through the year, I realized with a shock, it's literally absolutely every one of the main narrative points, the things that you think you know because you've been told it, every one of those things is A, incorrect, and B, has been enunciated to us by people who I know understand it's not true. So I'm afraid that's not a mistake. It's not a difference of view. It's not a difference of perspective. It's actually lying. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I put this to your listeners. When I go through these, you can judge for yourself whether I've convinced you they're not true. But I'm going to point out to you that all the main narrative points that we are told differ from any precautions we would have taken prior to 2020. That's one thing you should know. So we all discounted threw away our pandemic preparedness plans that every country had and went for these seven or eight ridiculous things. But here's the thing that convinced me and frightened me, and it does to this day. All the countries adopted the same seven or eight lies and the same phrases at the same time, whether it's Germany, Italy, UK, Ireland, UK, United States, everyone suddenly flipped to what I regard as absurd measures and statements, and they all did it at the same time, and they're none of them correct. And one, if you're a scientist, you know they're not correct. It's not a difference of opinion. So I'm sorry to frighten people, and often people are inclined to dismiss anything if it sounds like a conspiracy. I'm just going to be blunt with you guys. There is a conspiracy, and I've just told you that's the strongest piece of evidence for it. There's nothing theoretical about it. That's the point, you know. So am I a conspiracy theorist? No, I've never thought of anything like that in the past. I'm a normal, boring, middle-class guy, you know, with a whatever, you know, wife and two children. I wash my car at the weekend and I mow my lawn and I read the papers and I listen to the national broadcasters and nod. That's what I've done. I've been shaken out of this position by utter absurd anti-scientific lies. And I never could bear unfairness, injustices, and I'm seeing all of this happening, and I'm afraid it's getting darker.
And of course, what you're saying, we've experienced the same thing here in America every day.
Yeah, it's all over the world. Well, our guest is Dr. Mike Yeadon, and he is an expert in pharmacology. We are interviewing him from the southeastern part of the United Kingdom. And he is an individual that we're going to go through this week and talk about various aspects and unpack what you just said, because there's so much in there. We wish we had an hour program for each one of these, but we're going to come back and visit that. And some of the things you're going to talk about in these upcoming episodes are the various kinds of deceit, and you began to touch on that. How do you protect yourself? What should you do? And then what is the call to action? How can people ultimately respond to this issue? We have so many questions to talk with our special guest, Dr. Mike Yeadon. We're very privileged to have him on the phone. Former Vice President of Respiratory and R&D research at Pfizer, former chief scientist and vice president in that particular area. You're not going to want to miss these further interviews here on Faith and Freedom. For more information, go to lc.org/vaccine for more information and how to reach Dr. Mike Eden.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.